Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is absolutely wonderful to have you along. And today we're going to be talking about thought patterns and negativity and positivity and limitations. Because my guest today, her name is Dr. Nicola Byrd. She's a new generation psychotherapist who successfully pioneered self-imaging therapy. Her groundbreaking approach to personal transformation and brain retraining. We're going to have her on today. So during her 20 years of practice, Nicola has introduced innovative techniques to help people change and empower their lives. Her one-of-a-kind method gives people the tools to free themselves from negative tapes, limitations, and fears. And the great news is she can work with you wherever you are, whether it's anywhere. She can work on Skype or online video. And she received her doctorate from the University of Toronto. She has been featured in the Toronto Star, the Vancouver Sun, and Essence magazine, and has appeared on Lifetime Networks and City TV. She is the host of Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Byrd, and she's the author of The Boomerang Effect, How You Can Take Charge of Your Life. And a little bit about Nicola. She restarted her life at age 28. She was at that time unemployed. She was a single mother of a 9-month-old son, having just walked away from an emotionally abusive marriage. Although committed to personal growth, she was still stuck in negative cycles. She wanted a mental overhaul, but wasn't getting the results she sought. Her dissatisfaction with the processes available led her to create her own solutions and developed a distinct method for personal transformation. She saw the benefits right away. They were so powerful that by her applying her techniques that she was able to complete the 3 degrees, her undergraduate and 2 graduate degrees from University of Toronto in a record of 6.5 years, all the while establishing her transformational approach to psychotherapy called self-imaging therapy and raising her son as a single mother. Nicola has discovered through her practice that people have had the same ingrained self-defeating responses to fears and challenges. These are deeply embedded mindsets that they rarely know exist but keep them stuck in the problems that they're trying to change. She originated specific techniques to generate positive change that everyone can use to succeed at everything they do. I'd love to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Nicola Byrd. Hello, Nicola.
Hi, Miriam. Thanks for having me. It's so appreciated.
I'm so glad you're on. Thank you for being a guest. Now, you know what? I got to tell you right now, this is the first time I've ever heard of self-imaging therapy. So can you explain what that is?
Yeah, sure. I would love to. Well, self-imaging therapy is my baby. So I started developing the work around 20 years ago, and it came out of my own personal development and gift at being able to move into the inner world. And it's a inner process, so it creates change from the inside out. So it goes deep to the heart and the core of the self, so you get past the superficial layers and get to really what's causing or the root of the problem, so that you get really deep insight and deep change and long-lasting change, so that in the process itself, a person goes through an inner transformation. So it's healing and transformative, but the person learns tools and skills to manage and their lives and empower themselves. Mm-hmm. So the work itself is transformational, but it is, again, also at the same time, a process that they learn to do for themselves, a personal empowerment. The great part of the work, too, is that a person really does learn that they have the tools and the power within themselves to create the changes that they are seeking. So it's a very empowerment process, and it's a journey that a person takes for themselves, through themselves. They're in control the entire time, and it's empowering and powerful in that way. So the person definitely walks out with a sense of a greater sense of not only knowledge and no self-awareness, but what they can actually do to create change.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I mean, that's amazing, because you know what? I've got to tell you, there's a lot of therapists out there that use cookie cutter. Oh, what is wrong with me? I'm getting tongue-tied. Cookie cutter approaches that just don't work. So, I mean, this sounds very, very interesting. It sounds like it definitely, I can see how it can certainly help the individual that's struggling.
Yes, it's well, I mean, like I said, what you read, it does come from my own personal journey. Yeah. It started there, that I had been doing many different approaches to creating change, holistic approaches, non-traditional approaches, traditional, and while they were beneficial, and I got help, and I could, they just didn't create the long sustaining or the deep change. And the bigger thing was that the same issues were still running the show. I was more stuck. I wasn't moving the way I had, and I was putting in an enormous amount of effort, and I was so committed to my personal growth and to my change. So it wasn't lack of investment, it wasn't lack of intention. I had all the put in the effort, put in the time, was so committed, and yet things were not getting better. The patterns were running the show. I still didn't seem to have a grip on how to really create the changes I wanted. And so in that term of personal growth and going through a lot of inner work and meditation and all that kind of stuff, I met my ex-husband, and he was intriguingly into the same stuff. So we were going to work on personal development. But he himself wasn't, things were getting worse for him too. And then he came from a troubled background, and he was became, then patterns of emotional abuse started developing, and verbal abuse. And I didn't stay very long. I left marriage after just 2.5 years with my son when he was 9 years old, because I could see that it was going to erupt into physical violence, because he was becoming more and more verbally abusive, and I could just see the rage building. And so I said, I'm out of here. But that's when I was like, well, wait a minute here. I'm doing all of this work on myself, and I'm married to this. Something's not working, and I'm trying to create change, but my life seems to not be falling more and more apart. And that's when I said, okay, I need a revolution here. I need something needs to change this, and I have to get into a deep place within myself and really reconstruct. And I had been already very, very involved in my inner self, so all the work that I had been doing had been helpful and good, and it connected me to, I was more in touch with myself from within, but not really how I could reconstruct. And I had really held within myself and believed and understood or could see that if I transform from within, my life outside would transform as well. It was just a matter of how to do that. And I had been very involved in my own inner work in terms of dreams and inner work. And I could see patterns and changes that I could do on that level. So then my goal was then how I got into that deep level consciously, not waiting for like a dream to come, for instance, but to consciously be able to tap into that interior self and rework it and transform. And that's how my work began. And I saw benefits immediately to my life. I was able to accomplish, I was able to succeed, and I was able to overcome. And I don't mean that in perfection in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it revealed to me so much stuff that I needed to work on in myself, which was just remarkably wonderful, because instead of now, I actually knew what I could do. So whatever limitation was there, I was like, oh, good, now I could actually do something about the limitation. And in my work, that's a real key to it. It's not about I have a limitation, I have a fear, I have a problem. It's what you can do to change it and transform it and to build up the confidence to manage your emotions and your challenges and your mental processing. And that's what the work is really about, how we can manage those and take control of them rather than them controlling us, so that we don't need to be afraid of what we're feeling, what we're thinking. We don't need to be afraid of the things around us that threaten us. We have the confidence and the knowledge that we have the tools and the techniques within ourselves to face these obstacles or challenges and to move through them and overcome them and come out on the other side stronger, better, more capable, and that challenges are really opportunities.
Wow, okay. So now, I mean, that's the thing. That's amazing that you you know, you were able to have develop that kind of mindset? Because a lot of people really don't. So now I'm going to be asking, why do people get stuck in the first place?
It's not that hard. We're human. We're messy creatures. We are. We have a lot of emotions. We have, and life is not a linear, static. It would be lovely, but it's not like a straight road to heaven. We all want it to be, and we all pray that it will be, but I don't know anyone that is, that it's like that for. And so there is no magic pill. There is no magic potion for us. We need healthy coping styles. We need ways to manage the pressures that we face, the emotional messiness that we're facing. And when we don't have healthy coping styles in place to manage all the messy emotions, all the uneven circumstances, the random events and the come our way and the random situations that evoke all kind of different struggles, we will struggle. And the good news is that we can learn healthy coping styles. But many of us don't learn or have healthy coping styles. Mm-hmm. And if we've come from, you know, very challenging, and that comes from all walks of life.
Right.
If you've had a very challenging background, if you brought up in a hard environment, you won't have learned healthy coping styles. But you can come from a well-balanced environment but still have a personality and the combination and still have your own struggles and emotions that you don't know how to master and that you've never learned to master and you have difficulty with. So all walks of life, we face messy living, and we want to be able to find ways to move through them in healthy coping ways. And like I said, that can be learned. So we really have to be, you know, easy on ourselves through this journey that that places that is challenging.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. And I mean, a lot of people too, they just get comfortable in, say, the victim state of mind. Yeah.
Yes. The thing about the victim state of mind is that it really disempowers us. It's very easy to go there. I don't know anyone who hasn't. We're all going to have those moments, but it's not to stay there. Like, let them go. Move through it, because we can't gain a sense of our personal control if we always feel victimized by life, if we always feel put about by circumstances. If we measure our challenges against somebody else's successes, we're always going to lose. So we're always going to see that life has been bad to us. We don't see what they've moved through or what they've had challenges in front of them, because we're measuring against, you know, we're measuring it against that. So it is easy, quote unquote, but in the short term, and when things are fall apart, difficult, or when we feel things are unfair. And life, like I said, it's uneven, so we're going to have unfairness. Every single person is going to have that. So it doesn't behoove us or serve us to overcome. If we want to stay stuck, by all means. But if you want to create change, you do have to challenge the victim mindset. You do have to overcome it. But again, it's good news. The good news for that is that that's how we learn how strong we are. That's how much we learn how we have power. That's how we learn what we really can do and be, and we learn that we really are all we need to be. If we just know and understand that we have within us, even if you don't think it or see it, but if you take just one baby step, one step towards breaking through, that's movement, and you're measuring those small steps as valuable, then you're making inroads, and that's phenomenal. Every step you make, every moment that you can move through something is a success.
Well, that's true.
Overcome being victimized.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, it actually wouldn't be natural to not get into a victimized state of mind initially.
Absolutely.
Right.
And what I try to do in my approach and is that there's a difference between what you feeling something and a state of being. So
right.
we're we are all going to have moments of being victimized, but it's different when you get stuck in believing you're a victim, seeing yourself as a victim, and feeling like you're a victim. So everybody has insecure moments. Who doesn't? But it's different to be a state of mind, a state of being, an emotional state where you walk around with that I am inadequate being. Right. I am a victim. It's very different to I feel like a victim in this moment. And, wow, this awful thing happened to me, or, boy, this is hard, or, boy, why? What did I do wrong? You know, that kind of thing. That's a moment.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, you work to find and break yourself, bring yourself towards a strength within you that says, okay, how can I help myself through this? What positive thing can I learn from this? Not negative thing, what positive thing? What can I take from this that can enhance my life? Maybe I have to do some digging to find that. Maybe all I can come up with is learn patience or find compassion or find something in there that benefits your life and build on that.
Right.
And
right.
It's not like I don't say snap, but it's worth it. It's the effort, is way, lesser than the great reward we're going to get at the end of the road by putting in this effort towards ourselves to enhance our life and to break through states of being that just get so entrenched if we keep feeding them.
Right.
And we don't
want
to keep feeding victimization. You want to, like, starve that mindset, starve that emotional place within you where you feel victimized and feed empowerment.
Right. So now the big question is, how do we gain control of our lives that now that we see that, how do we gain control?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. And even as I'm saying these things, I can see and hear people going, I try, I really try, but it seems bigger than me. It seems larger than me. It's more than me. And that happens. And that's not necessarily your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean you might have come from an environment, for instance, where you were just overexposed to anxiety or you never felt safe.
Right.
Or you were on your own. You could have been abused. You could have been put down. You have a lot of experiences that are really not supportive, non-loving, and hard.
Right.
You could be at work, for instance, and you have a boss who is critical, harsh, and you feel, and you're stressed. So I'm not in any way diminishing the challenges or the hardships of life or sometimes the cruelties of life or the abuse of life that can happen or just the stresses or just the day-to-day challenges. So I have a lot of compassion for that. I have a lot of understanding of that. I certainly understand and have a lot of compassion for when we've learned and then patterns have become ingrained. So I don't want anyone listening to feel like that they're to blame because they're struggling, that they're the problem. And when I say this, like, you know, go towards empowerment, like, well, I can't, I don't know how to. And that's legitimate. That is legitimate. So I'm not saying this in a way where, because I want to say to anyone listening, you know, when you've learned something that's become ingrained, which I would talk about, when it becomes a state of being, it's tough. It's hard to break it through because you've learned it. And it's so second nature. You become so accustomed to feeling and thinking and being a certain way that you don't know. You really will not know something else. An anxious person just doesn't know how to be calm. So you can't just go, well, just be calm. You have to learn it. But you first have to own. The first place is you have to recognize I'm anxious, for instance. You have to own, take responsibility for that part. And by responsibility, I want to differentiate that from blame. You're not blaming yourself because you're the way you are because you learned it. You're there because circumstances, personality, the combination of your circumstances, the combination of your personality, this is your life, and you've learned it. It's not your fault that you've learned this. It's not your fault that you're there. But you can take control of it and you can change it, and that's where your work lies. So you can get right in that. That's one of my big mantras in this work, because absolutely we don't want to be attacking and blaming and being critical of ourselves because we're stuck and because we're struggling, because that just feeds the feeling of victimization.
It feels the
feeling of unworthiness.
It makes you feel worse. It makes you absolutely. It becomes a vicious cycle. Because I understand how
vicious.
It is. Yeah, I do understand how it is completely. So you've brought up some extremely valuable points. Now, is there anything that you'd like to offer our listeners?
In terms of what they can do for themselves?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I'd love to. So small things. Start small. So, you know, the first place to start when I say, you know, you learn these things, we can get really, the first place, so we can really get caught up in what the world is doing to us.
Right.
Because so many situations that we encounter, so-and-so said this and I'm this way,
right.
This happened, that happened. We can spend a lot of time thinking about what people are doing, what people are saying, the world around us, how it's controlling us.
Mm-hmm.
We really, or what's happened to us in the past, happened to us in the future. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
The first place to start is with yourself. Rather than focusing on what's going on in the world is doing to us, what people are doing to us, we need to focus on what we are feeling. We need to recognize that the world is triggering our emotions. So what we're really struggling with is what we're feeling inside of us, our emotions.
Right.
And that's fairly tough because those are invisible. And in my work, what I do when I work with people is I, through the journey to the cells, and we create a metaphor to represent emotions so they become more tangible and reachable.
Right.
For an individual, when they don't have that kind of sense, how can I connect to my emotions? The first place to start is just trying to label what emotion you're feeling. This is anxiety. This is fear.
Right.
So at least you start identifying what you're feeling. Just the label alone gives it some kind of something concrete and gives it some kind of structure. I'm feeling this. And instead of Bob did this to me, Sue did this to me, this bad traffic, and I'm angry because the traffic was bad. No, traffic, Sue, Bob, whoever, whatever, triggered my anger.
Right.
And I need to then work on that emotion.
Right.
And that's where, so that's the first place to start, owning your own emotions and saying they're mine.
Right,
The second place to start is with the compassion. It's not my fault that I learned these emotions. Again, it's a combination of my environment, my personality. It doesn't matter which one is leaning, whether it's 80% environment, 20% personality, or 80% personality, but it doesn't matter which way it leans. You're here now. And this is what you've learned, and this is what has been developed as a way of, as an emotional state or a mindset. And so now it is, how do I start chipping away at this and creating change? One, support yourself. Be kind to yourself. So instead of beating yourself down because you're angry, or you want to support yourself. So if I'm angry, what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
You need what to help that emotion. So anger needs maybe some soothing, some reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking that emotion. So you first identify your emotion by looking at yourself versus what the world is doing to you, and you label that emotion.
Right.
And you don't have to feel rushed, because what's going to happen is if you start recognizing that and owning that and taking that moment, and that doesn't have to take like 12 hours. That's in a moment. What am I feeling? Take your time. Just take like, this is what emotion. What would I identify this? You're going to start noticing that you repeat the same similar emotions. I feel angry, or I feel inadequate. When did I last feel that? 5 minutes ago. How often do I feel that way? A whole lot of times. You're going to start noticing that you repeat the same emotions. That's the good news. Because if it's the same thing, then it's the same technique to keep changing it. It just it's just repetition. Repetition. So if I'm anxious, I'm scared, I'm inadequate, I don't feel good enough, that kind of thing, then you are identifying, and then you're saying, what does this emotion need? It needs... So if I'm inadequate, I need validation. I need encouragement.
Right.
If I'm angry, I need a calm. I need to find a way to reassure myself or soothe myself. So if I'm worried, I need to find the place in me. I need to find a story, a narrative, a place in me that's calm. And I need to work on how do I get there? What can I do? See, for instance, if you're anxious, breathing. That's the way to get calm. If you're angry, breathe. That's the way to get calm. If you're insecure, you breathe again. It's a way to find a calm place inside where you can be positive. So that's the third thing, or was that the fourth thing? I'm losing the numbers, but these are the steps. You then can always, always, and anyone listening, they can just look up it online, just look on diaphragm or belly breathing. That's in deep inhalations that helps to calm you down and create a calmer place or a stiller place inside. So you're relaxing more within yourself rather than tensing and fighting and struggling and beating up on the self. And when I segue from beating up on yourself, always, always work to be compassionate to yourself, be kind, to be caring. Be mindful of a critical, self-critical voice.
Okay.
I work, it's so common, it's without exception, and that's what I work on. It always comes up. It's something that everyone needs to be aware of, needs to keep in check, needs to be monitoring. So being critical of yourself does not help you. It only beats you down.
Yep.
And so, and if you use the mantra, it's not my fault that I learned to be this way, but now I can change it, and here is what I can do for myself. And
right.
just, and you're looking for ways to take care of yourself, looking for ways to be with yourself. And I hope that anybody listening goes, well, I don't have the time. Anyone listening to this could say, but how much time does this need? This is just way of processing. I can be in traffic and think about, what am I feeling in this moment? I'm angry. I can breathe. Mm-hmm. That doesn't take time out of your day. That's
right.
During your day. You can do that in that moment. You can make that shift there. And maybe it'll last a second. Maybe it'll last half a minute. But guess what? That's 1 second, 1 minute of reprieve, or half a minute. Do that again and do that again and do that again. It's going to go extend into, you know, 50 seconds to a minute to 2 minutes. It's repetition that got you into a pattern. Repetition will get you out. It takes time, but you have to know you're worth it. And you need to be taking care of your emotional life. It's very, very important.
Yes, it absolutely is. You're absolutely right. So
I know we're busy, but we can create pockets and spaces. 5 minutes washing the dishes instead of, oh my God, what happened to me? I'm you know, take that moment. Cleaning your teeth. Breathe into you, you know, breathe deep. Think of something you appreciate in yourself. Be aware of the critical voice, and instead, what do I appreciate in myself?
All wonderful
things you can do for yourself.
Well, this is all excellent advice, and hopefully people will listen to it every day because I think we all need daily reminders. So my last question will be, Nicola, is how can people reach you?
Well, people can always check out my website, NicolaBird.com. They can just find N-I-C-O-L-A, birds like the one that flies, so there, that's easy. Anyone can send me an email, Nicola@NicolaBird.com or info@NicolaBird.com. I have a newsletter as well that a person can go to my website and sign up on. I certainly welcome all emails. If anybody's interested in working with me, again, I can work with you anywhere you are via Skype. I have a wonderful program, Total Life Transformation, that people can, you know, check out and see. And again, I welcome anyone contacting me anytime with questions and interest. So please reach out to me. I'm happy to respond and happy to hear from anyone.
And where can people reach you on social media?
I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Nicola Byrne.
Yes, I'm Nicola Byrne TV on YouTube, but all of that is on my website. So they go to NicolaByrne.com and they can. I have amazing testimonials that people. A wonderful one from that gives a 24-minute journey to a woman's overcoming anxiety that I think is very, very, very insightful because it's her story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot available on my site for people to really engage in and get, and like again, that they can download things from my site.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Nicola Byrne. It was a pleasure having you on. And you have yourself a great day, and everyone, have yourself a great day, have yourself a great week, and I will speak to you soon. Bye for now.